Roger. I was listening to both of those songs and thought, boy, that takes me back, especially that last one. I hadn't heard that in years. But, you know, you associate songs with people. And I can't remember, you know, very many associations like that, but I can kind of remember my uncle. He sang bass, and he would sing the bass part to "When I've Gone the Last Mile of the Way." So when I grew up, I thought, well, I guess you're supposed to sing it like a bass singer. And so I would try to sing it bass, and that didn't work out very well. So anyway, we're going to try to sing one. You know, it kind of goes in conjunction with what Brother Roger has said in his song. You know, someday we'll go that last mile. And as we do, we know that we've got a better home, a better opportunity that awaits us in serving God in a special, special way. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. You kind of excuse me today, both, well, surely worse than I am, has a lung infection. And I've been battling not the very same thing, but trying to keep it from going from the nasal passages down into the lungs. So if I seem a little bit more daffy than usual, don't think anything about it. And I know that I wasn't feeling too good because I was so nice to Brother Stan. And I don't understand, you know, I didn't turn him away at the door and that sort of thing, or ask him what his name was. And he agreed with me. He said, "You must be sick." But we're glad to be here. We're glad for everyone who have found it in their hearts to come this way. And we ask that you pray for this service, that God would receive all honor and all glory. That's what we're here for. That's one of the reasons why that he has left us in the world, that we might glorify his name and to glorify his Son, Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you turn with us to the second chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. In other words, Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to begin our reading lesson with a very familiar scripture. In fact, you probably could quote this. And it's been preached on many, many times. Now, Paul wrote this from a prison. He wrote four letters. This letter, Colossians, Philippians, and then also Philemon. Now, we don't know if this was the very last of his days on earth, if he was executed shortly thereafter, but we do know that he was thinking about the infant church, and I believe he was thinking about out in the future, what the church would be like, what the church would go through. And through every avenue, every era, the church has undergone changes or persecutions or anything that might come up against it. But nevertheless, the grace of God has always been with it. Because it says in one place, "I will be with you even unto the end of the world." So we're going to begin our reading lesson today with the eighth verse of the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now that correctly read is the 8th down through the 10th verses. Now normally a preacher would probably center on that 8th verse. But for some reason we've been led towards the very last portion of what Paul said here. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before hath ordained that we should walk in them." And God being our helper, that would be our thought or our theme this morning, is God creating us or recreating us through Christ for the purpose of good works. Now, sometimes we shy away from anything pertaining to works because we know that there are probably some places where that the works, the good deeds, and all of those things become in that person's mind the basis of their salvation. In other words, when they get to heaven, they're going to have a long list that says, "Well, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done all these things in thy name?" And you know the remainder of that. And if anybody goes to heaven with that in mind, then they're in for a very, very big shock. Because first of all, the Bible teaches us that we must be born again. We must have experienced that new birth, that passing from the old man to the new man. And it is a work of God. It's a workmanship. That's why that he calls salvation, or he calls redemption by that name. And so that is the basis of our service unto God. That's where that we go from. It doesn't just end at salvation. Just like we preached several weeks ago, it didn't end at the cross. It didn't end at the empty tomb, but the message goes on. And God has seen fit. God has privileged us with the responsibility and also the privilege of taking the good news and the gospel that affected our soul unto those that are out in the world that are going to need salvation. That's the root of it today. Salvation is the root, if you will. And we are grafted in by the power of the Holy Spirit into that root, or into that stem. Jesus said in one place, I am the true vine and ye are the branches. So make sure that a person's grounded into that true vine. But then after being grafted in, what happens? What happens whenever that we plant a fruit tree? Now, you probably are a lot better than I am at making things grow. And I wanted to take on the responsibility of, you remember the olive trees that we gave out? I was wanting to take that responsibility. And Shirley said, do you remember some of the plants you planted? They're no longer in existence. So she hid them from me. And I know they're in the house somewhere. And she's nurturing them. But today, we are to bring forth fruit. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for that for the sake of the individual and also for the sake of the world. And we find that the Bible tells us that after that we're saved, we're new creatures, new creation in Christ Jesus. We've passed from death unto life. We've been saved by the grace of God. And God has put within us that capability of being able to do as Christ has sent all of his believing children out into the world to do. In fact, for some people, there's an inclination. There's a desire. There's a hope that they might be able to do good. And we find the Bible says, and Jesus himself says in one place, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, I'm not very agriculturally minded. I can tell you what a dandelion looks like, and I can tell you what a rose looks like. But you know, when you go to an apple tree, you expect to see apples, don't you? Now, don't get into the thing about horticulturists that graft different fruit into the tree, but just basically, you go to an apple tree, you expect to see apples. You go to a peach tree, you expect to see peaches. And if we live down in South America, if you go to a banana tree, you'd expect to see bananas. You're not going to see it all switched around. And that's how it is with us. We're to bear fruit. We're to bear witness, if you will, that we have gone through a change that's not given unto us by the world, but it's given unto us through God, our Savior, and through His Son, our Savior and Redeemer, and our reconciliation. We are redeemed, and we are to bear fruit. Now, I can't tell you what you're to do, and you can't tell me what my job is. That's between you and God. I can't look into your heart and tell you that, well, you need to go out on the mission field, or you need to do this, or you need to do that. That's between you and God. And when God saves us, he wants to use us. Now, we'll jump from the fact that not only are we to bear fruit, but we fit into the scheme of God. There's no insignificant people in the government of God. Don't ever be discouraged or despairing that you're not important. I can tell you this right now, that we might think that our small toe is not significant. I just chop that thing off. I don't need it. But what does it do to the balance of the body? What does it do to the well-being of the body, to the functioning of the body? And I can tell you, I'm off balance anyway. And if that toe was ever cut off, no doubt I would be leaning this way or falling over this way. But that's how it is with us. You know, you can liken it unto also the human body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Or the elbow cannot say unto the knee, you know, you're not doing as good a job as what I am. Why are you even around? Don't let Satan use something like that to cause you to think that your service unto God is not important. I give unto you in the scriptures that there were 5,000 that needed to be fed after that Jesus had taught them, after that he had preached to them. And you know, Jesus turned to the disciples when they asked him, how are we going to feed these people? He said, you feed them. And I can imagine Peter's mouth just dropped open and said, Lord, I haven't caught enough fish to feed those folks. But you know, God used a small lad who happened to be there during this time. And I'm persuaded today that God doesn't do things by accident. He doesn't do it just happenstance. He just doesn't throw the universe out there and say, well, you know, Neptune's doing okay, and Saturn's a little wobbly. I want to tell you something. God upholds even the stars by the word of his power. He holds them in suspension. He holds things like this wall together. And you might say, well, he sure got a big task to do. But he is God, and there is nothing, nothing that he does not know, nothing that he cannot do, and nothing today is impossible with God. So whenever that this young lad came forth, all he had was 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. And of course, one of the disciples said unto him, but what is that among so many? Let me tell you something. You put your gift, your life, you put yourself into the hands of Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you, he can work some very, very wonderful things through you. The problem comes in, we get to thinking it too much. We get to reasoning it too much. We get to looking at the problem and looking at what the circumstances would be. What we need to look unto today is unto God and unto him today. Take what I am, Lord, and use it however that you would see fit. Take what I understand and what I know, and use it to your name's honor and glory. And that is part of the workmanship. That's what God is wanting to do. He's wanting to work with you. Have you ever heard about in Isaiah, the potter? Isaiah went down, I believe it was Isaiah, well, anyway, he went down to the potter's house. And he watched the potter on the spinning wheel. I don't know how these ladies and gentlemen do that. I have no idea. As a kid, I can imagine what I would do with it. Because I used to take clay and smear it all over creation. And if I got a hold of a potter's wheel, I'd be figuring out a way that I could use it as a projectile, you know, to throw clay at somebody. That's just my mindset. But you know, he watched the potter, and the potter would take the clay on the wheel as it spun, and he would shape it like this, or he would shape it like a different kind of vessel. And then he would look at it, and he would decide, well, that would work, but I think I'm going to do this, and I think I'm going to do that with it. And I find that we are the clay, and he is the potter. He can shape us into anything that he wants to. Now, it might not be what we want, and it might not be something that we desire, but I want you to know that it'll give honor and glory unto God, and we will share in that honor, knowing that we have pleased God and that we are pleasing God today. Brother Bill used to tell me stories, or I think it was Kirksville. Is that right, that you lived at? Yeah, I almost didn't wind up where I'm at today because my big goal, take it for what it's worth, was to go to Kirksville and major in chemistry and then become a neurologist or a neuroscientist. Oh boy, you know, I'm going to go out and change the world like Albert Schweitzer. You know, I'm going to gain notoriety. They'll write my name in a book. They'll write books about me. But that was Paul wanting to get glory for himself. Do you know what happened out of that? Now, Kirksville's a great place, Brother Bill. I loved it while I was up there. So I'm not going to say anything bad about it. But one morning, I woke up. And it was like I'm speaking to you. You're not going to Kirksville. You're going to go to SBU. And I had always heard of this. I knew friends that went there. It was like, well, it's okay. But, you know, it's no Kirksville. I don't care if it's no Kirksville. You go to SBU. And so it was too late. Everything was falling into place to go to Kirksville, and I had to cancel all that out. And then I had to somehow get my foot in the door there in Bolivar. And so I went there and majored in chemistry and biology. And I wondered, there were times I'd lay in the dorm room and I'd wonder, what am I doing here? What's this about? But I knew I was supposed to be there. Somehow God revealed it and impressed upon me that I was to go there. Well, one day in the lab, while we were washing slides and cleaning up our microscopes, I spotted the most beautiful young lady with big brown eyes that I'd ever seen. And of course, she saw me, and it's like, well, okay. She wasn't looking at any Robert Redford, I can tell you that right now. But anyway, to make a long story short, everything fell into place that I was to do. And then the final stone, the final thing was that he called me to preach. And that was one of the last things that he impressed upon my heart. And then later in my ministry, he called me to a church that I'd been in revivals in. And you know, by that time, you know, Lord, I'm going to go live in a cave. You know, I'm disgusted with society and blah, blah, blah. But this church had confidence in me to call me. And I know I'm taking up a lot of time here, but one day I just kind of been to Shirley. She was washing dishes, and I just put my foot down and said, I'm not going to pastor that church. And she didn't say a word. I don't want to pastor that church. I'm not going to go to that church. I'm not going to do it. And she said, well, is this your decision or is it God's decision? That's all she said. And as sure as I'm standing here today, this morning, I can tell you, the same voice that spoke to me and said, do not go to Kirksville, go to SBU, spoke to me and said, you are going to Elkton Church. And all of a sudden, it was like, Lord, I'm in agreement with you. I don't understand this, but I'm in agreement. I cannot describe what I felt that day. Well, you may not have a calling like that. None of us probably have the same type of calling, but God has called us. God wants to use us. No matter what we think of ourselves, it's about what God thinks of us. God used a shepherd boy that known only one thing of using a sling to kill animals with that were about to attack his sheep. He took that young man and he made him king over Israel. That's what God can do. And I want to tell you something today. God can use you. Well, you don't understand. I'm not able to do it. I'm not able to get around. But, oh, there are many things that you can do. You can call people and ask them, how are you doing? Or ask God to use you to reach out to somebody who may be lost or unsaved. Or how are you feeling? Well, I understood you were sick and so on and so forth. And it may not even rest with that. There may be other things that God would have you to do. That's fruit bearing today when you do it for God's cause and in God's name today. There's different types of good works. There's different types of ministry. We always think of ministry as the man standing behind the pulpit, but it's far more than just that. It's you going out into the world. It's you encountering people, and you can never tell how much good that you can do by just greeting somebody and asking them, how are you doing? And you know, that might be a person that's been carrying a big heavy load and he just needed someone to show that he cared. That's how Jesus did his ministry. He just went about. People would come to him and he'd go to them. And he didn't come at them with a Bible or with a scroll and swat them upside the head and said, I'm the Messiah, you better believe me. No, he didn't. He showed love and compassion. He showed unto them that he was in their corner, so to speak. And you know, God doesn't ask the impossible. He doesn't want us to go out and stand at the Palm de Jer River with a staff and smite the water and walk across. He doesn't ask us to do that. But he asks us to do one of the most impossible things, and you know as well as I do how dark our society, our culture, everything has become. That's where a light is needed. They have no idea what love is. It's been defined so many different ways, from so many different angles, that they don't know what true, God-like, agape love is. And that's where that we come in. We show that. Now, I know I don't like their language either. I don't like some of the things that they do. But you look into their eyes, and the eyes, I've always been told, are the window into the soul. And you look in their eyes and you can see somebody there that's not just a homeless person or somebody there that you would not want your son or your daughter dating or, you know, whatever the case might be. It's a soul that somebody needs God. And you might be the one to plant the seed to them, to show them love. The Bible tells us in one place there's different types and different ministrations and different types of serving. We can find in Isaiah chapter 58 where that it encourages us to feed the hungry. You know, I may not give money to an individual that's on a street corner with a sign up saying, you know, $5 and I'll be able to go back to Toledo, Ohio. But God has moved upon me to go and get a Big Mac and a Coke and give to them and tell them, God bless you, I'm praying for you. I'm going to tell a good story on Brother Terry Nicodemus. Brother Terry was down in Springfield, and he said that I was driving along, and sure enough, there was a homeless person just right there on the street corner. And he said, it bothered me. He said, I'm supposed to do something. I'm supposed to do something for that individual. So he went through the drive-through, and I don't think he got a Big Mac. I think it was a chicken sandwich. Anyway, he got this for this individual, a Coke and some fries. And that sounds like a simple meal. But you know, nothing is simple when you do it in Jesus' name. God will bless it. And he got out, he gave it to the individual, told him who he was, and said that he would pray for him. And he said, you know, I looked in my rearview mirror, and he said, that guy could not have gotten around the corner that fast. In doing charity and doing good, sometimes we entertain angels unawares. And I'll just leave that with you today. But anyway, we are to help the poor. We are to do for them today. And we have that personal ministry where that we edify one another. And you do that. And I want to encourage that. Keep on doing that. When you have the opportunity to build up somebody or to encourage them or tell them, you know, that you really care about what's going on in their life, my friend, that's fruit that's being born. That is the evidence, not so much to prove that you're saved, but my friend, evidence to that one individual that sure enough, God cares and he's using one of his own as to touch me. And you know, there's a saying about pass it on. You know, maybe that individual will pass it on to somebody else and keep on and keep on and keep on. And you know, that's one of the, I'll tell you something today, that love of God is something that Satan himself cannot destroy. That love of God and concern for one another, that concern for lost sinners, is something that Satan just despises and hates today. But today, as we said, in this world that we live in, they need you as a light. They need me as a light and as one that can reflect the love of Christ. And then we're to do missionary work. And you might say, well, I'm not going to go to Nigeria. Well, don't ever tell God you'll not do something. But I'm just using that as an example. I'm not going to go to Nigeria. Well, that's not what he may ask you to do. But your mission field might be the neighbor next door. Your mission field might be the little clerk that is checking you out at a grocery store or at Walmart or whatever might be. That may be your mission field that he's sending to you, that he has sent to you. And the Bible says over in Mark chapter 16 in the 15th verse, this is one of the best examples of a commandment to go into the world. Jesus told the disciples, he said, go ye into all the world. Now notice that all. That means whatever your world is. Whatever that your field of harvest is, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And in Acts 1 and 8, it says, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We're to be a light. We're to be a beacon. And you know, we don't use lighthouses anymore. But what do you do whenever that the electronics breaks down? And that's happened before. A light does not falter very often. And our light should not falter at all. So the gospel of Christ is declared with the mouth and is also demonstrated in our life, in our deportment with one another. So we're saved by grace. Boy, I could preach on grace all day, but I'm not going to hold you here. But I could preach on grace all the time, every time. I'm amazed at the grace of God. I'm amazed at how that God saves individuals and how that He redeems them. We are saved by grace because of His love. And we serve one another in love. We serve one another. We serve our fellow man. I know, and I'm going to repeat this several times. I know whenever that you encounter some of them, that they're going to, if they're angry or they're going to prove a point, man, they'll call you every name perhaps under the sun. I've seen videos, and I've talked to individuals, these street preachers, and they said if somebody doesn't like what you say, they'll throw anything from urine to you know what on you. He said, I've had it happen. And I asked him one time, I said, what do you do? I said, I just kept on preaching. Because I understand that those people are in darkness. So as we close our few remarks today, you are His workmanship. You are His hands, His feet, His mouth. You are representative of Him. And if He wanted angels to have done it, He would have sent angels. But He wanted you to do it because you understand and you've experienced that grace of God. And later on with that individual, you can tell him, listen, I understand where you're coming from. I have this testimony, and I know Jesus. You know, my son, we visited with him yesterday, and he said, you know, one of the hardest people to talk to is an atheist. And he said, there was a fellow worker that, he said, just out of the middle of nowhere, just came up. And they got into a discussion, and he told my son, he said, well, here's why I'm an atheist. Justin asked him, why are you an atheist? What is it that has turned your thinking and your heart this way? Well, I just don't like these preachers on TV, and I don't think they're doing right. You know, they're living like millionaires, and he just went on and on and on and on to Justin, and Justin just kind of listened to him, let him speak and everything. And finally, whenever he could get a word in edgewise, he said to him words to this effect. He said, that's not representative of true Christianity. That was the first thing that he said. But he said, Jesus is what it's all about. And he said, you know, Dad, I felt really good about talking to the man. I said, you probably planted some seed there. I said, you probably got him to thinking that there's something besides what he's seeing in it, something beyond that, and you pointed him towards Jesus. Lord, I was so proud of him. Not that he's any different than, you know, when I was growing up, I was much into intellectualism and all this stuff that I probably would have debated him or never get around to talking. But right off the bat, he said, that's not what it's about. It's about Jesus. It's about that Jesus loves us all. He loves you. He loves all mankind. There's no black and white in His eyes. There's no right and left and all of this sort of thing. He said, but it's about Jesus Himself. So, as we close our few remarks, I know I've told a lot of stories, but I just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you. No matter how dark that it gets out there, don't give up. Don't give up. Because Jesus will be with you whenever that you go out into the world that we have today.